Hey everyone, welcome to Pastor Rick Warren's Daily Hope. Now we're going to continue our series today called Building My Life on Values That Last. And Rick will press on and show us how we benefit when we apply the biblical principles of trust, self-control, balance, respect, forgiveness, moral purity, fairness, honesty, and love to our lives. I don't know about you, but I am so excited to hear what Rick shares today with part one of a message called Accepting Responsibility.
If I were to ask you today, what's your greatest ability? I wonder what some of you would say. You might say, you know, I'm good at mechanics, I'm good at math. Some of you might say I'm good at sewing or surfing or channel surfing. But you say, well, I'm good at all of this. But I want to suggest to you this morning that your greatest ability is responsibility. You say, huh? Yeah, your greatest ability is responsibility. Responsibility is the ability to respond to life. It's one of the greatest gifts that God has given you. God created you and made you a human being. And what makes you a human is the ability to choose your response to life. And so you can respond in many different ways to stress, to problems, to crises, to opportunities, to relationships, and it's all your choice. A couple weeks ago, we talked about how most of your life is out of your control. You didn't choose where you were born or when you were born and all those different things. And you don't choose a lot of the circumstances and events that happen to you. But you do have the freedom to choose how you react to life. You do have the freedom to choose how you respond. And because you have that choice, because you have the freedom to respond and you are able to respond, you are response-able. You're responsible. Justice Louis Brandeis, who was one of the Supreme Court justices, once said that responsibility is the great developer. It builds your character. It's what helps you grow. Churchill called it the price of greatness. If you want to do something great with your life, you have to become a responsible person. So today we're beginning a series on 10 values on which you build as pillars of your life a successful and a significant life. And we have to start with personal responsibility. Because folks, this is the foundation. This is ground zero. This is the bottom line. If you don't get this one, you may well forget the rest of the series because you can't build any of the other values in your life if you don't personally accept responsibility for your choices, your character, and your values. This is what it all starts with. If I get that point down, then the rest can be built in a successful and a significant life. Now, it's very obvious that in the last 40 years, there's been a dramatic decline in the acceptance of personal responsibility in our society. Nobody wants to accept responsibility for anything anymore. In fact, we want to accuse and excuse. We want to accuse other people, it's all their fault, and we want to excuse ourselves, it's not my fault. And we live in this blaming and accusing and excusing society where nobody wants to really own up to anything. Now, what causes that? What's happened in our society? Well, last week I said that our beliefs determine our behavior and our behavior determines what we become and what our society becomes. And so we talked about the ideas of individualism and secularism and relativism and how that has influenced our value system. There are three values that are very prevalent today, three beliefs that are the antithesis of personal responsibility. I've written them there on your outline, and we just need to look at them for a second. The first one is what I call the rights mentality. The second is the victim mentality, and the third is the entitlement mentality. Now, the rights mentality basically goes like this. I have my rights, and that's all I'm interested in, my rights. Would you agree that today our society is obsessed with personal rights? Listen to this, John Leo talking in U.S. News and World Report. Today, American politics is awash in rights talk. We have criminal rights, computer rights, animal rights, children's rights. We have victims' rights, abortion rights, housing rights, privacy rights, the right to know the sex of a fetus, the right to not be tested for AIDS, and the right to not inform anybody if we have been infected. Recently, we have acquired the right to die. And according to some rather imaginative theorist, a damaged fetus also has a right not to be born. He says, our culture has reached the point where the obsession with individual rights is making it hard for us to think socially. And he suggests that along with our Bill of Rights, that we really need a Bill of Responsibilities. And I want to say, John, we already have one. It's called the Ten Commandments. That's what it is. Now, we hear a lot today about rights, and we don't hear very much about responsibilities. We hear a lot about entitlements. We don't hear much about obligations. We hear a lot about myself. We don't hear much about what it does to other people. And we certainly hear a whole lot more about choice than we hear about commitment. So this morning, I want us to look at this value of why do I need to be a person of responsibility? Well, first, there's this rights mentality. The second we have called what I call the victim mentality. And the victim mentality basically goes like this. None of my problems are my fault. In fact, they're all your fault. And we blame. And you've heard me say many times that you spell blame, be lame. And every time you blame somebody else for the unhappiness in your life, you are being lame. Recently, there have been a number of books out on this. This one's called A Nation of Victims, The Decay of American Culture. And listen to this. Here's some examples. An FBI agent embezzles $2,000 from the government, and then he loses it all in an afternoon of gambling in Atlantic City. He's fired, but he wins reinstatement after court rules that his affinity for gambling with other people's money is, quote, a handicap. And thus, as a handicap, it is protected under federal law. Here's another. Fired for consistently showing up late at work, a former school district employee sues his former employers, arguing that he is the victim of what his lawyer calls, quote, chronic lateness syndrome. I'm a victim. In Framingham, Massachusetts, a young man steals a car from a parking lot and is killed while driving it. His family then sues the proprietor of the parking lot for failing to take steps to prevent such thefts. See? It's your fault. It's your fault that I stole the car. A man who, by his own admission, has exposed himself between 10,000 and 20,000 times and been convicted of flashing on more than 30 occasions is turned down for a job as a park attendant in Dane County, Wisconsin, and because of his arrest record. But he sues on the grounds that he never exposed himself in a park, only in libraries and laundromats. Now, the Wisconsin employment officials, ever accommodating to the expansion of human rights, agreed to make an initial determination of probable cause that the flasher was the victim of, quote, illegal job discrimination. We are a nation of victims. None of it's my fault. It's everybody else's fault. And I have my rights. And then comes the third antithesis to personal responsibility, and that's what I call the entitlement mentality. And the entitlement mentality basically says, I deserve it. The world owes me a living. And this is a kind of a strange combination that came about from a generation of baby boomers who were all raised, 76 million of them, on second most popular book ever sold. And in that book, it basically says, leave the little tyrant alone. If he wants to throw Jell-O around the living room, go ahead. You don't want to harm his creativity. And so a whole generation grew up not thinking, I am my brother's keeper. They're not even thinking, I'm my own keeper. It's, you ought to take care of me. And you couple that with the rapid expansion of government intervention in the last 40 years, which basically says, we'll take care of you from cradle to grave. And we have people saying, I have a right not to work, and so therefore you should pay me to not work. This has produced what Time magazine calls busybodies and crybabies. What's happening to the American character? And inside it says, a cover article, it says, a nation of finger pointers. It says, twin malformations are cropping up in American character, a nasty intolerance and a desire to blame everyone else for everything else. Now, that's the kind of world we live in that says, I'm not responsible for anything. It's not my fault. In stark contrast to that, notice what the Bible says there on your outline. Ephesians chapter 5, let's read this aloud together. Live life with a sense of responsibility, not as those who do not know the meaning of life, but as those who do. Now circle sense of responsibility. God says you are to live your life with a sense of responsibility, but more important than that, I want you to notice he says the reason. He says, because you know the meaning of life. And the point of this verse is this. If you live your life in a responsible way, it means you probably know the meaning of life. You figured it out. Why did God put me here? On the other hand, if you are living an irresponsible life, it just means one thing. You don't know the meaning of life. You don't know your purpose. You don't know why God put you on this planet in the first place. Therefore, the key to living a more responsible life is to figure out, why am I here? What did God put me on this earth for? So the first thing we have to deal with is, why should I live a responsible life? There are three reasons. You might write these down. The first reason I need to learn to live a responsible life is because God is watching me. Because God is watching me. The Bible says this in the book of Hebrews. Nothing in all the world can be hidden from God. Everything is open before Him. And to Him, we must explain the way we have lived. He says, God sees it all, and God is going to judge us one day and evaluate our lives on how did we live. Now, if you don't get anything else that I say this morning, get this. Life is a test of responsibility. That's why you're going through all this. God put you on, He planned you, thought you up, put you on earth, and He is testing your responsibility. Now, if you've been around at Saddleback for any length of time, this is old material. We've gone over this before. That whether you live 60, 70, 80, 90, or 100 years, that's just a little millimeter on the yardstick of eternity. When you die, that's not the end of you. You're going to live on for eternity, one of two places, heaven or hell. And how you do what you do with your life and the decisions you make here are going to influence your eternity. And you will spend far more time on that side of death than on this side. Now, what's going on in this 50 to 100 years that I live here on earth? Well, as I've said before, this is the warm-up act for eternity. This is the dress rehearsal. This is where you get the parts right. Folks, right now, you're in preschool. You're in preschool, and God is testing your responsibility for what's going to happen later on. And God put you on this earth primarily for two reasons. One, to get to know Him personally through His Son, Jesus Christ. And two, to develop character. To become more like God, the way God is, in character. To develop the values and the responsibility behind all of that. And that's the foundation. If you're not responsible, you can't build the values. Now, why is God interested in my character? God couldn't care less about your achievements. What He's interested in is your character. God couldn't care less about your bank account. What He's interested in is your character. Why? Because it's the only thing you're going to take with you when you die. You're not taking anything else. You didn't come into this world with anything. I've been there in the birth of all three of my kids. None of them came in chomping a cigar, holding the Cadillac, or anything else. They came in totally naked with nothing. And you know what? When you die, you're going to die and leave it all behind. So everything you have here, all your material possessions, are really just on loan to you for 60, 80, 90 years. They're not really yours. You just get to use them, then you pass them on to somebody else. But the one thing you will take with you is your character. And God is evaluating, are you responsible? And the Bible says that in eternity that we will be rewarded accordingly to our responsibility and our relationship to Christ here on earth. Once you've settled that issue of, yes, I know God and I know His Son Christ and I am a follower of Him, then the issue becomes, what did you do with what I gave you? God has made an investment in you when He created you. He gave you talents. He gave you abilities. He let you live in this particular time in history. He's given you certain opportunities. These are all things He's given you. And He expects a return on His investment. Notice what the Bible says. Each of us will have to give a personal account to God. That means nobody's going to do it for you. Your wife can't do it for you. The pastor can't do it for you. You will give a personal account. And I want to tell you that one day, God is going to do an audit on you. Not on your finances, but God's going to do an audit on your life. And He's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? Were you responsible? Did you use your time, your money, your influence, your mind? Did you use your relationships, your opportunities, and all of the things that I gave you? Did you use them wisely? Or did you just use them selfishly? That's reason enough, folks. If there were no other reason for being responsible, it's the fact that one day I am going to be accountable to God for how responsible I lived my life. Daniel Webster once said, the most important idea I ever thought was when I realized, the day I realized that I am personally and individually accountable to God for how I lived. Now notice it says here, God knows everything. Nothing is hidden. That means He's seen everything you've ever done. It's interesting because when we rationalize our irresponsibility, one of the ways we do it is nobody will ever know. Nobody will ever know. So I can throw this trash down. Nobody will ever know. So I can steal this stuff. Nobody will ever know. So I can read this material or on and on and on. But God knows. And He's the only one that really matters. You may be able to fool everybody in this room, your family, your boss, and everybody else, but that doesn't matter. Who you're living the responsibility for, the responsible life for, is God, and He sees it all. So that's the first reason, and that's enough. But there are two other reasons you need to live a responsible life. Number two, because others are affected by my life. Because other people are affected by my life. You see, none of us lives to ourselves alone. We are all interdependent. We're not independent, we're not dependent, but we are interdependent on each other. 1 Corinthians tells us in the Bible, people should be concerned about others and not just about themselves. Now, back in the 60s, during the kind of the hippie movement, and I lived up in the Bay Area, and then I lived north of it too, and there used to be these beautiful Peter Max psychedelic posters. Some of you remember these. And one of them kind of had a 60s mantra on it that went kind of like this. It said, I was not put on this planet to live up to your expectations. And you were not put on this planet to live up to my expectations. So let me do my thing and you do your thing. And if perchance we happen to meet, that's groovy. You know, we don't say it in such a corny way anymore, but the attitude is still around, and it goes like this. It's in Billy Joel's songs. I don't care what they say. This is my life. Or as that great theologian Sammy Davis Jr. said, I gotta be me. Or his theological partner Sinatra, I did it my way. And the basic idea behind these type of songs are, I live my life the way I want to, and what's it to you? Because if it doesn't hurt you, or if you don't know about it, who cares? It's my life, and it really doesn't matter what I do because it doesn't affect you. The problem is, you're wrong. You're wrong. Every decision you make affects somebody else, even the secret ones. Even the secret ones, because it changes you, and you then influence other people. by the changes in your life. You may not see the visible results, but every choice you make influences somebody else. And every time you're irresponsible, it hurts somebody else, because we're all on this same planet. When somebody in your family has a problem, it's not their problem, it's the family's problem, because it influences everybody in their family. One kid, whether the kid's on drugs or the dad's under stress, believe me, it affects everybody in the family. There is no such thing as a non-affecting decision. You, all the time with your life, influence your family, parents, kids, brothers, sisters, moms, dads, husbands, wives. The choices you make influence your friends. They influence the people in your neighborhood. They influence friends at church. They influence society at large in major and minor ways. But we are all interconnected because we're on this planet together. I mean, if I were to ask five of you, say, hey, or four of you, volunteer to go with me after your service today. Let's go over to Lake Mission Viejo, and I've got a rowboat over there. And we're going to go out and catch some rays. We'll just row out in the middle of the lake and just relax for a while. So I get four of you to go with me. We got an 8-foot boat. We get over there, and I say, okay, now each of you, here is your foot and a half space. Here's your space. Here's your space. Here's your foot and a half. Here's your foot and a half. This is my space over here. Okay, so we go out, we row out into the middle of the lake. We're out there relaxing, getting a tan. 20 minutes into the boat trip, I pull out a wood drill and start drilling a hole in the bottom of the boat in my space. You say, what are you doing, Rick? And I say, I'm drilling a hole. You say, well, what are you doing? You can't do that. I said, don't worry about it. It's my life. This is my space. I'm not drilling it on your space. You got your own space. You want to drill a hole? Fine. You don't want to drill a hole? Fine. What's good for you is fine, but what's good for me is fine. And I want to drill a hole in my space. You say, you don't understand something, Rick. We're all in the same boat. And if the boat goes down, we're all going down with it. And that's why it's totally irresponsible to say, I can live any lifestyle I want. It doesn't matter to you. It does matter to me because it affects me. And it affects other people around. And the Bible teaches we affect other people by our lives. Now see, it's interesting that when we are irresponsible, the two most common excuses, rationalizations we give are, number one, nobody will know about it, and number two, it won't hurt anybody. And you're wrong on both accounts. You're wrong. A man could say, oh, I can get away with this because my wife will never know. I can do this and it won't hurt my wife. And kids could say, oh, I can do this, it won't hurt my parents. And employees say, you know, I can do this because it's a big company, it won't hurt anybody. And you're wrong. So you need to be responsible because God is watching and because other people are affected. But there's a third reason, and this is even a positive point here, and that is I need to be responsible because God rewards it. And boy, does He reward it. Deuteronomy 28 verse 2 says this in the Bible. You will experience all of God's blessings if you obey the Lord. Circle that word all. God says, you will not believe what I will pour out on your life if you will live responsibly with your time, with your money, with your relationships, with your every area of your life. I will bless you in ways you cannot even imagine. One of the ways that God rewards us when we are responsible is He gives us greater responsibility. The next verse, Jesus says, to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. And so, if you use your influence well, guess what? You become more influential. And if you use your possessions well, guess what? God will provide more of them. Why should God give you more money when you're not responsible with the finances you've got right now? He doesn't have any obligation to help you when you're living irresponsibly in that area or any other area. But he says, on the other hand, if you will be responsible, I will bless your socks off in a way you can't imagine. Now, if that's the case, how do I become a more responsible person? Well, look on the back of your outline. Anytime you want to talk about responsibility, there's a certain book you have to go to in the Bible. You know, the Bible's made up of 66 different books inside. And there's an entire book of the Bible written about how to live a responsible life. It's called the Book of Proverbs. Proverbs has 31 chapters in it. That means if you read one chapter a day, you'd read through the book once a month. I want to challenge you today to read a chapter a day of Proverbs for the rest of your life. It means you'll go through it about 12 times a year. And each time you read through it in a different translation. Then get another one, read through it in another one, then another one. Because you'll get more and more out of it. This is the book that teaches you how to live. It teaches you things like, how do you build strong relationships? It talks about how to handle wealth. It talks about how to build a business. It talks about how to get along with other people, how to save your marriage. It talks about child raising. It talks about what to do when you fail, what to do when you succeed. It's an amazing storehouse of God's wisdom. And so you have to go to Proverbs when you look at responsible living. Now, it's interesting to me that in our culture, we actually idolize irresponsible people. You take the most irresponsible people in the world and we say, oh, look at them. Aren't they cute? They just, you know, thumb their nose to convention and to the law and to everything else. And they really are, oh, they're free spirits. They're unique. And they're the ones who get all these awards and glory and their picture on magazine covers. And we call them great. Well, God has another word for irresponsible people. It's a four-letter word. He calls them a fool. A fool. 69 times the word fool is used in the book of Proverbs. And the same guy who wrote Proverbs wrote Ecclesiastes, the next book, and it's used 23 times in that book. Now, when we use the word fool, we usually mean stupid, dumb, low IQ, uneducated, unsophisticated, naive, not very smart. But when God uses the word fool, he says it means irresponsible. Irresponsible. He says, you know what? You can have a low IQ and not be a fool. You can have little or no education and not be a fool. But if you are irresponsible, God says, in light of the meaning of life and why he put you on earth, you're foolish if you live irresponsibly. So 69 times in the book, he says, here's what a fool does. And on the other hand, he contrasts, says, here's what a wise person, a responsible person does. Now, we don't have time to go into all 69 of those today. So let me just give you four to get started. Four ways to get started on being a more responsible person. And your homework this week is to go find the other 65 and write them down because they're all there. Okay, number one, let's just get real practical. How can I be a more responsible person? Number one, by saving my money. By saving my money. God says, if you're not saving any of your money for the future, you are being a fool. You're being irresponsible. For instance, the average Japanese citizen saves 25% of their income in Japan. The average European saves 14 to 15% of their income. The average American saves less than 5% of his or her income. Why? Because we have bought into this instant gratification society that says, I've got to have it now. Buy now, pay later, live for today, enjoy it all now, and don't worry about tomorrow. And as a result, the average American puts $1,300 on his credit card for every $1,000 he makes. What's wrong with this picture? I'll tell you what it is. He's acting like the government. Okay? Now, Only the government can get away with that. It's called deficit spending because they got a little machine in the back that prints the money. And unless you have one of those in your garage, you're headed for trouble. You're headed for trouble. Deficit spending. And so we spend, 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 and Americans are not saving anything. God says that's foolish.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to today's show. I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I feel like Rick is talking to me at the exact moment about the exact thing that I need help with. And now here's Rick to tell you about a resource that he created to help you in your walk with Jesus.
Did you know that everything you do and every decision you make is based on your values? Today, so many people are confused about what they're meant to be and what they're supposed to do with their lives because they're looking in the wrong places and they're living by values that are at odds with God's values. In fact, I believe living with values is the number one conflict and cause of stress in our lives today. So what's God's solution? Well, he wants us to live by his eternal values, the values that he teaches in the Bible. Now, I have prepared a new resource that I want to tell you about today to help you develop and apply God's values in your life. It's a resource I'm calling Building Your Life on Values That Last. It's a self-guided study that I believe will help you grow spiritually. It'll help you understand what matters most in your life, and it'll help you to follow God's eternal plan for your life. Building Your Life on Values at Last is going to help you in ways you've never imagined. It'll help you learn what God has to say about trust, self-control, balance, responsibility, respect, forgiveness. It will help you understand what the Bible says about moral purity and fairness and honesty and love. And I will show you some practical ways to make the changes you need to make to get back on track so that you're living by God's values, not by the world's pressures. Now, here's the best news. You don't have to do this in your own strength. God is going to give you the power and the ability to make the changes he wants you to make. You're really going to want to get this tool. It's got a beautiful leather-like cover. It's filled with beautiful artwork and application exercises and a lot of space for you to write down your thoughts, your responses, your ideas to what God is teaching you. This is something you're going to keep for a long, long time. It's a comprehensive study tool that I believe is going to help you go deeper as you follow Jesus, and I'm proud to carry one of these myself. I hope you'll get one today.
Go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or you could just text the word HOPE to 70309. That's the word HOPE to 70309. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.